doing well as in Central North Carolina. Just like always, if you don't like the weather, give it 10 or 15 minutes. It'll change before you have a chance. You know, you came in and maybe comfortable. You might leave. It could be snowing. It could be rain. It could be doing any kind of thing along the way. But at any rate, we're so glad to have you here together. Look around. Give somebody a wave, a smile, a wink that says, "Hey, I am so glad that you are here today and have the opportunity to worship together with us." As always, if you are part of our online audience, we welcome you today from whatever location. I know we have folks in different states and then oftentimes in different countries that tune in to God's Word as we gather together today in spirit and in truth. As always, online family, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito. I call him our online minister. So if you have any questions or anything that you need information on, Dr. Cazito can either answer your question or he can get the answer to your question. And I love him. Hey, for just a moment, let's give him a hand for all he does behind the scenes. I appreciate him so much. And that's one thing that a lot of folks can't really say that they've got is an online, I call him our online minister because he's right there with our folks to help them certainly feel like a part of our service. And we certainly hope that you feel that way and that you feel welcome in that regard. If you'll notice, Don told me I don't look good in yellow, but this has been our from the inception. This has been our Team Cuba shirts that have not changed a single bit in the 20-plus years that we have been going. So you'll notice there's going to be a couple of folks around you today. That's our Cuba team. And this is our last Sunday before we leave to head out to Cuba. We will be leaving this coming Thursday. Now, I want to put a bug in your ear. Because over two decades, we have supported many ministries in Cuba, many folks. All of that has been done by you. The weather has crept up on us. I know old Satan likes to try to do his thing. There were two Sundays that we missed, and all of a sudden, everything gets off kilter. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You get a little off kilter because you missed those two Sundays along the way. Well, this is the last chance for us to be able to take our Cuba offering. That is today. As of where we are right now, we are $7,000 short of where we were last year. So again, I just want to remind you, as the Lord places it upon your heart. Now, I want to say this as well. For those of you who have given, thank you so much. I also want to say this. God knows what we need. God knows what's going on. He has never, there have been times when we've had extra money, and then it didn't turn out to be extra money. It turned out to be exactly what God needed us to use it for. But I do want to put that bug in your ear. As of today's offering, Mari has to get to the bank. She has to do some accounting work and do some things for us before we leave, and we will be leaving here on Thursday. So if the Lord is putting it on your heart to contribute to this particular trip, please do it today, because today's the deadline. As of tomorrow, when it all gets counted, Mari has to start dotting I's and crossing T's from there. But again, I want to say how proud I am of each and every one of you guys for over the last two decades, what you've done. I know that whatever we take is what God wants us to take. We're not worried about that. We just have to look around and look at what our priorities are, and we will take those, and God will make things happen just as He is supposed to. So I don't want you to feel like I am twisting your arm or trying to beat you over the head with it, but there's a deadline. I just wanted to let you know that, and it's today. So at any rate, if the Lord leads you to contribute to our Cuba team, please do that today. You can put that in an envelope. You can simply mark that Cuba, and it will get counted tomorrow. It will be converted by Mari this week, and then our team of three will be leaving on Thursday. And pray for us. There's a lot of moving parts and pieces on this trip, as you know. Tensions have always been somewhat unique between the United States and Cuba. And then, of course, the situation with Venezuela has not helped that very much. But I'm proud of the guys that we've got going. It's myself, it's Steve, and Mike Stone. We're just doing what the Lord tells us to do. That's the way we work on it. He's the one that's going to look after us. He's the one that'll protect us. He is the one that will take care of us. And just know this, when we leave Thursday, we will leave Greensboro. And the most direct route to get to Miami is obviously through Philadelphia. So that's the way we'll be going. And then we'll change planes in Philadelphia. Then we will go into Miami. We will spend Thursday night and then be at the Miami International Airport at O'Dark 30 on Friday morning. And I believe we're supposed to be in Cuba by about 10 a.m. Friday morning for our week. And then the following Friday, we will leave to come back home. So pray for us. Pray for the ministry. Pray for everything that the Lord has in store for us. One of the great things about this trip is God moves, and He moves fast, and He always answers questions. That's why we don't worry a single bit. So thank you. Please, 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 above all things, remember us in your prayers as we go and serve the Lord in a communist country. That's the best way to say it, where things are really, really bad. Food, power, you name it. I mean, imagine not having power. Some of you all know what it's like to not have power for a week. Some of you, most of us don't understand what it's like to not have a meal on the table. That has become more and more difficult. As we go this time, there are some things that we're taking. Their requests were not for, their requests this year were for the simple things. We are taking beans and flour and those sort of things, canned type meats, and we're limited to 50 pounds a piece that we can take. So, you know, you don't really know how far that goes when you're talking about a retirement center, but you talk about a true essence of loaves and fishes, boy, this is it. God always provides for them in an incredible kind of way. So pray for the Cuban people. They're very excited. They are begging us not to stop coming. I got that message from the state convention, and of course, you know, I didn't ask my guys. I said, you know what, if the Lord puts me here as a leader, He said, if you guys want to back out, you can back out. And I'm like, what's back out? I said, yeah, we've talked to our guys, and yeah, our guys are like, hey, this is what the Lord leads. He'll take care of us. So that means you guys got to pray extra special for us. How many of y'all, put your hand up if you're going to pray for us. Good deal. Yeah, as often as you think about it, 3, 4, 53 times a day, it doesn't matter. Pray for us as we go. At the end of our service today, we will commission our team to head off to Cuba, and we're just going to be excited about what it is that God's going to do. Let me lead you in a word of prayer as we begin our time today. Father, as we come to you, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your house, Lord, to gather around your word, to gather with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ. And what a joy it is just to be able to grab a handshake or to grab a hug or Father, to do life together as the body of Christ that we call Central Baptist Church. Now, Lord, today I pray that you will help us to have our mind upon you. Lord, as always, we know that there are so many things that are going on in our individual lives and in our individual hearts, but today, Lord, we realize as well that Satan's going to try to distract us from hearing what the Holy Spirit has for us on an individual basis. Lord, I pray that you will just bind him from this place, that you will push him off the property, that for these moments that we will spend together, Lord, for the moments that we will lift up our voice in song, for the moments that we will gather around your word, for the moments that we will hear a message from you, that we won't be distracted by anything that's taking place or anything that's going on, that we might hear clearly what the Spirit would say to each and every one of us. And then, Father, I pray for courage to act upon what it is that you show us. Lord, maybe it's encouragement that we need, but Lord, maybe there's some correction that needs to take place. Give us the courage to do what you have called us to do. And Lord, may we be attentive to the Holy Spirit today, as Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, folks, as we gather together, David's going to come and lead us. As you know, Brad and Lachelle are away today for a memorial service. In his family, he's doing a lot to look after and to take care of his dad as well. So y'all sing loud, sing proud. This is not David's first rodeo, but I know we're going to enjoy a great time of song. David, come lead us.
We usually stand for this first hymn, and it's very appropriate today because it's Stand Up for Jesus. It's hymn number 485. Would you stand, please, as we sing the first, second, and fourth stanzas? Stand. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. It's so great to be a part of a family. We know how great it is to be associated with a family, but even greater to be a part of the family of God. And we're just going to sing this old chorus this morning. We'll only sing it one time.
Before I play this morning, the song I selected with the commissioning of the Cuba team and all was a song called Find Us Faithful. If you're not familiar with that song, it's more of a contemporary type song. You have my permission to be on your phones and look up the words. It's really hard to get the words to come out through this thing. But make sure you put the phone away before Roy starts speaking. Okay? But leading up to this week, I was practicing and just having a tough time. I've kind of let my practicing go by the wayside. And for a low brass player, the harder notes to hit are the real low ones. You got to get your lips really loosened up. And it just, as the week went on, it actually got worse. And yesterday, I practiced in the afternoon, and it did not go well at all. And I just prayed and I said, Lord, if I'm going to play this tomorrow, you've got to help me because it's not coming out. Went up to my daughter's house to help her cut up some pine trees that had fallen across the fence. And as I'm dragging a big log with some branches on it through the into the woods, a branch came up and smacked me right in the face. Spit out a few pine needles, and I could taste the blood running into my mouth. I thought, oh no. And now what am I going to do? My lips split. Went home, picked up the horn. I thought, well, let's see what happens. And the low notes came out. So lessons I took from that from God were prayer does work, but be careful what you pray for. And sometimes God knows you just need a smack in the mouth. So, and Aunt Terry will say amen to that. So find us faithful with the Cuba team being commissioned this morning.
Thank you.
Amen, Jim. Thank you so much. That meant such a lot to me today, you know, to think about what we've got to take place, what we've got going on, serving him, being able to go. And isn't that our prayer? It should be our prayer that each and every one of us may truly be found faithful in the presence of the Father. And the other thing, too, is, man, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to keep an eye on the lineup and the itinerary and everything. And next time before Jim gets ready to play, I'm going to go hit him in the mouth with a tree. That was great, brother. Thank you for blessing our hearts today. If you got your Bible, we're going to look in passages out of the book of Romans chapter 6. Go ahead and turn there if you've got your Bible with you. And yeah, this is a passage that gives some great explanation. This is something that was taking place that was not just taking place back in the days of the early church, but it is something that you and I deal with today on a daily basis. And we're going to look at some truths that we find in Romans chapter 6. I'm going to start off with a couple of verses, then I'm going to skip a few verses, then I'm going to go down to a couple of more, but I'll keep you up with where we are. But what we really want to look at today is the transformative power that grace has in the lives of believers. And we also want to look at that in regard to, you know, our sinful nature, as it were. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, and he was what he was doing is he was addressing a very critical misunderstanding regarding grace. And then as you look at it, you're going to understand where the misunderstanding could take place. Now, often in my time through ministry, I've had people who have come to me and they would say something like this. They would say, "Pastor, is it all right if I," and then insert whatever that is, okay? Now, there's a reason why they're asking that question, okay? Why is it that you think they're asking that question? Because they know within their spirit, I don't want to say their heart, because the heart is deceiving and desperately wicked above all things. But in their spirit, the spirit says, you better not do that. The spirit says it contradicts what God's word says. But what we want to try to do is we want to try to find somebody who will affirm that it's all right to do that. Now, you have that in your lives in a lot of ways. People will come to you and they'll say, "Hey, let me ask you a question. I was thinking about doing whatever. What do you think?" Now, inside your soul, it screams, this is not a good thing to do. But you know what happens? What we often do is we don't want to make our friends or loved ones mad. So what we do is we'll go, "Oh, yeah, that's fine." And then what you've just done is you've just given them some confirmation that it's all right to do. Because then what'll happen is whether you said it that way or not, that will be their justification. Let me tell you what else it'll do. It'll also give them somebody to blame when things go wrong. "Well, I'll tell you one thing, yeah. Pastor David said it was all right for me to do that." Now, here's the thing. It doesn't matter what Pastor David, Pastor Roy, or anybody else tells you. What does the Word of God tell you? The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. The Holy Spirit tells us this. But people will come and they'll say they want to get their toes right up on the edge of sin so far. And they want to know, how far can I go to where I don't cross over the line? Okay. Now, sometimes folks will do that, but then there's another type of situation, and I believe that it's the misunderstanding that Paul is trying to correct in the passages we're going to read today, is that what happens is people will often, and I've used this term throughout my ministry, people will beat up the grace of God. And you'll see what I'm talking about here in just a moment. Well, let's get to it right now. I'm going to break this down into two different sections. Look with me, if you would, Romans chapter 6, and we're going to take the first two verses. We're going to find out what the issue is. So Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound. Now, I want to pause right there for just a moment. In other words, Paul is saying that he's listening to what it is that they're saying, and this is kind of like what he's hearing. I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, but what he hears is this. It's like some people are sitting back saying, hey, look, you know what? I need to go out and sin. And the reason I need to go out and sin is so that when I ask God to forgive me, and his grace will abound in my life. So the more I sin, the more I go and ask forgiveness, and the more God forgives me, the more grace that is bestowed upon me. Hallelujah. That won't preach then, and it won't preach now. But see, that's when I talk about beating up the grace of God. There are people, and you will hear this again, that have the attitude of, well, you know what? I can go out and do whatever I want to. I'm a Christian. Once I get done, I just ask God to forgive me. So, it's not that big of a deal. I will go out and do this thing that is sin. I will go out and do this thing that is outside of the will of God, because as soon as I get done, I'll just go to God and I'll ask him to forgive me, and it'll all be right with the world. I call that the sin bucket. There are people in this world who believe that that's the way it goes. I'll just go out and sin as much as I want to, because I am covered by the blood of the Lamb and the grace of God. So what I'll do is I'll just go out and sin, and I'll just make sure that I go ask him for forgiveness, and then everything is erased, and I can just sin as much as I want to. You see, some people will use God's grace as a license to sin. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Okay. That's what they'll do. Now, that was an issue. That was a misunderstanding back in Paul's day, but yet there are people today who have that same attitude. If you're honest with yourself, and to thine own self be true, there has been at least one time in your life, if you followed the Lord for more than 24 hours, that what's happened is you have had something take place, and you know, the Holy Spirit within you says, this is wrong, you should not do this, but then that little devil pops up on your shoulder and says, go on, do it anyway. You ain't got to worry about it. God will forgive you. His grace will abound upon you. So you can go ahead and do what you want to do, but just be sure that you ask God to forgive you of your sins. Now, how many of y'all will be honest this morning and say, you know what, I've had that thought come through my mind before at some shape, form, or I'm just going to go ahead and sin, because there's pleasure in sin for a season, and then I'll just ask God to forgive me of that. Now, I do want to say something else in conjunction with that. There is this thing called, and I know none of y'all have ever heard this word before, called repentance. You've heard that word before, haven't you? But you see, the difference is repentance says, I've realized, you know, you were doing something outside of the will of God. The Holy Spirit pointed that out to you. And in your heart of hearts, you honestly no longer want to do that again, because you want to serve the Lord in a righteous and a gracious way. Repentance means that you turn away from it. Repentance means that you're going away from sin and you're heading back in the direction of God. And you never, ever want to break his heart by doing that sin again. That's a whole lot different than, well, I'm going to sin and I'll ask forgiveness. Then I'm going to go out and do it again tomorrow and ask forgiveness. And I'm going to go out and do it again tomorrow. That's not repentance. And I believe that according to the Word of God, where there is repentance, there is forgiveness. And yet there were some people who had the attitude, some back then and some today, that have the attitude, well, I can just go out and do whatever I want to. I have a license to sin because I'm a believer. I have a license to sin because God will forgive me. Now let's go back again. Romans chapter 6. Let me hit verse 1 one more time. It says, what shall we say then? This is Paul addressing them. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now look at verse 2. Certainly not. I'm going to give that to you in a modern day term. Paul's saying, does that mean we should go sin because we have God's grace? Absolutely not. Do you get it? Notice, this is emphatic. No. No, that is not what that means. It doesn't mean we can go out and keep on sinning. He says, verse 2, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? If you've died to it, then it shouldn't be a part of your life. It shouldn't be anything that you should want to take place. The interesting part about it is when you realize how much sin hurts the Father, it should hurt you. Now, I don't know about y'all. I think a lot of y'all grew up either in the same era or the golden era even before I did. And the thing about it was you would rather somebody take you behind a dumpster and beat you with a 2x4 as to disappoint your parents. How many of y'all grew up like that? I mean, you know, it would be worse. I mean, you're like, look, well, I'd rather you take me out behind a woodshed and beat me than to see the disappointed look on your face or have that disappointment within your heart. Think about how when we sin, how it hurts and disappoints our Heavenly Father. Think about that. He says, you're my children and I love you. And then you willfully disobey what the Word tells you. You willfully disobey the leadership of the Holy Spirit and then try to take God's grace as a license to sin. Wow. Man, how much does something like that hurt? I mean, that stings. Can you imagine what it must be like to be the father and to see this repeatedly happen? Okay, so one of the biggest things I want you to learn today, the core truth of the passages that we're looking at and that we're exploring today, is that grace does not give us a license to sin, but rather it empowers us to live righteously. Did you hear me? I mean, if you're writing something down, write that down. Grace does not give us a license to sin as a believer. No, sir. That is not what it's about. Paul emphatically states that when he says, certainly not. He's trying to clear up any misconceptions that people have. And I would almost be willing to say to call it out on the carpet. Because you know what? Honestly, folks, there are some people who try to justify their sin in this day and age with this particular, with these particular comments on the grace of God. Well, you know what? I'm a believer, so I'll just go out and do whatever I want to do, and then I'll empty my sin bucket. Yeah, I can go out and do whatever I want to, and then I can go before the Lord, and I can say, Lord, forgive me, and I'm going to dump it out. But I'm going to go back and do it all again next week. That is not repentance. That is not what God is saying. That is not how grace operates. And you know what? If you think it is, then listen, I'm calling you out on the carpet today. Not that the Holy Spirit hadn't already done that. That's what He does. But I'm pointing it out. It is time to stop taking advantage of the grace of God and using it as a license to sin. Paul says, how shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Paul's presenting the believer's identification with Christ's death and resurrection as a catalyst for transformation. I always liked that word. I had to throw one of them college words in there, a catalyst. I always wondered what that was, catalyst. And I remember when I had chemistry class, the one I failed, a catalyst is something that starts an action. You know, maybe a chemical that you add to something else to start a reaction. Think about it like this. Well, Paul is presenting the believer's identification with Christ, knowing Him and knowing His death and knowing His resurrection as the catalyst, the thing that starts the reaction, a catalyst for transformation. We're not what we used to be. Jesus Christ in you changes you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't go and do and be what you were in the old sinful nature when you've given your life to Christ. What a difference the Spirit makes. That catalyst that we're talking about, let me tell you something that I love to see, and I've shared this with you before. I love it. I love to see when a new believer has trusted Christ and then maybe a little time into their walk with the Lord, you know, they'll come up and they'll say, "Preacher, I need to talk to you for a minute. Let me buy you a cup of coffee." And I'm like, "Coffee? I'm there." So, you know, we're sitting down having a cup of coffee, and you can tell there's something going on. And you can always tell that. It's just the look on their face. It's something they're carrying around. They'll say, "Preacher, I got a question to ask you." "Sure, go ahead." They'll say, "You know what? All my life I've been involved with," insert whatever. "All my life I have done," insert whatever. "But now, for some odd reason, I feel bad about doing this or being involved in that." And then at that particular point, I will give the most pastoral answer that you could ever hear. And it goes a little like this. And they look at me like I got three heads. I say, "Listen, let me tell you, that's great. Let me tell you why this is." I said, "Let me tell you what this means. What this means is there is evidence of the Holy Spirit working in your life. There's evidence of your salvation. Because it's not somebody twisting your arm. It's not mama or daddy or husband or wife or brother or sister or loved one or, you know, anybody from the church. It is the Holy Spirit that is telling you this is not right. That is the tension within your heart. That the Holy Spirit is saying, this is not becoming of a child of God. This is the way that you should live." And I said, "The greatest thing in the world is that the Holy Spirit is the best preacher, best teacher that you ever had." What a catalyst. Jesus Christ is that catalyst that brings about the change in your life. And you see, that's why you wonder. Now, I want us to be careful here. Because I could also go over and preach a sermon out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, where it says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." We like to go to that one, don't we? Particularly when we feel like we're the one being judged. Well, the Word of God says you're not supposed to judge people. Well, you're right. But let me tell you what else the Word of God says. The Word of God also says you will know them by their fruits. So God gives us the right to be fruit inspectors. And you know what I'm talking about. Everybody in this room, there have been times and there have been somebody, you hadn't said it out loud, or maybe you have, but most of the time you don't. You'll sit back and you'll see somebody come to know Jesus. But yet there's no evidence of that in their life. And then what we do is we'll sit back and go, "I just don't think he or she's a believer." Now, you don't really want to say that out loud. That's what you're thinking, because all of a sudden somebody goes, "Well, now listen, brothers and sisters, we're not supposed to judge each other." No, but it says you'll know them by their fruits. And let me tell you one of the scariest verses in the Bible to me, okay? As a pastor, one of the scariest verses of the Bible is this one. "Not all who say, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father." I believe with all of my heart, like some of the great pastors that have been respected over the years have stated before, I believe that there are more people who are lost than people who are saved. I believe that there are more people that Satan has put blinders over their eyes, and they think that being a Christian means that as long as you act like one, you're okay. Or that if you have more on the good side of the ledger than the bad side of the ledger, it's going to shake out and you're going to be fine. That is not what the Bible says. You see, Jesus in you should change you. It's not about, "I did the thing." It's not about, "I just went up and prayed with the pastor." It is about beginning a personal walk and a personal relationship with Jesus. It is about never getting over being saved. Let me tell you something that's really cool. I can remember the first sermon that I ever preached. Scared to death. I thought it was a marathon. I thought it was a three-day revival that I was preaching. 15 minutes later, it was over. Some of y'all are saying, "Why don't you bring that sermon next week?" But one of the things that I love to be able to say is this. I still get as excited about preaching God's word today at 60 years old as I was when I was 15 years old. Because I know that's what God called me to do. I know it. I know it in my heart. I'm excited about it. I love to see people come to know Jesus. But folks, we've got to, it's got to be real to us. It has to be something that we are on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, not just on Sunday. And the part that bothers me is I see many who call themselves brother and sister, who live like saints on Sunday, but live like hell Monday through Saturday. The evidence is not there. Because I will make you this promise, to coin the term of David from many years ago, the most miserable person on the face of the planet is not the unsaved person. It is the saved person who is outside the will of God. Because those whom he loves, he chastens. And if there is no conviction in your heart, there's no spirit there. And if there's no spirit there, there's no Jesus there. And without Jesus, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Plain and simple. Has Jesus in you become the catalyst of change? Why does that matter? Because understanding the relationship between grace and sin is crucial for every believer. It shapes our worldview, how we see things. It shapes our moral decisions. It shapes our very understanding of salvation. Now you understand, as a Christian, when we look at society today, we look at people and we sit back and see things that are blatantly outside of the will of God, and we ask ourselves, how in the world can anybody hold to that? You know, because you know, that violates what the Word of God says. I don't care if it's politics. I don't care whatever it is. Your worldview as a believer should be a biblical worldview. This should be the lens by which you operate. This should be the lens by which you make decisions. And when you see things that are blatantly being done wrong, it's not up to you and I to accept them. It is up to you and I to say, this is outside of the will of God. Now, let me tell you, you're going to be in a minority in this world today when you do that. Yeah, you might sit back and say, well, let me tell you one thing. I'm going to stand on this truth if I have to stand by myself. Well, good, because you probably will stand by yourself. Unless you're here in the church, you'll have some people going to stand with you. You're probably going to have to stand by yourself. You're going to have to make decisions with friends. You're going to have to make decisions with family. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't love them. I'm going to take a sidebar soapbox for just a minute. I don't understand why it is in the year 2026 that we cannot disagree with one another and still be able to have a conversation as to why. I don't get it. I mean, you know what? If somebody is doing something clearly unbiblical, they're a loved one of mine, and I'm not trying to point them. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody or anything. But I can sit back because I love them and say, "Look, you know what the Word of God says." Then all of a sudden, what happens is they're mad at me. Then they don't want to talk to me anymore. Then they want to go on social media and destroy my. Oh, tell you that preacher over there. Don't you go over there. He's a 0 stars out of 5. Because he told me it wasn't right for me to be doing this sin that's blatantly in the Bible. And the ironic part is, there'll be 10,000 likes on that. Even when they said, even though the Bible clearly says this should not be happening and it was called out, why is it that we cannot have a conversation anymore? Why is it that we cannot disagree? Listen, if I ever had to come to you and say, look, this is not what the Bible says. You know, whenever we get done, no matter what happens, we'll still go have a cup of coffee, and I'm still going to love you, and I'm still going to fight for you. I'm not going to walk down the road of sin with you. Now, that's not me judging you. That's the Word of God and the Spirit judging you. So remember, Jesus in you, His grace within you, should be what shapes everything about you. It should shape your worldview. What does the Bible say about our politics? What does the Bible say about these things? What does the Bible say about support for Israel? I'm going to tell you that right now. That's one of the big ones right now. I mean, it's huge. There is debate going on. There's all kinds of things. And there's a younger generation that is that blames Israel for a lot of things that are going on and siding with the terrorist community. And I said, you know what? Regardless of how you feel about those situations, let me tell you what thus saith the Lord is. You ready for this? Those who bless Israel, I will bless. Those who curse Israel, I will curse. Now, one more thing I will say. People say, well, that's Old Testament, and that was back during the law. Well, let me tell you what God told Abraham. God told Abraham, I make this covenant with you forever. Did you get that? Forever! Let me tell you right now, to everybody here, to everybody watching online, I support Israel. Central Baptist Church supports Israel. Lord, you've blessed us. And you made a covenant with your people forever. And we will stand by that covenant. Now, have I had conversation with people about that lately? Oh, yeah. Have I been called lots of things besides preacher boy? Oh, yeah. Do I care? Because I'm right. It's right here. This is our foundation. When you stand on this, you can have the confidence and the assurance that someday you're going to be I hope God lets me do that. I know He's not going to, because He's a just and a gracious God. Yeah, I just, yeah, sometimes when I'm up in heaven and some of those people who come up, I want God to say, He was right in what He told you. You know, because then I want to go. Now, God ain't going to let me do that, because that's pride. Remember, He gave Paul a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to keep him from being prideful. But it's not about me. It's about Him. Are we taking advantage of the grace of God? Is Jesus in us shaping our worldview? Is it shaping our moral decisions? I believe this is the most immoral world that I've ever seen in my life. Morality has gone. Do y'all think so? And the thing about it is, for some odd reason, we accept it. And here's a bad part. The church has even accepted a lot of this stuff. No. People have said to me before, and I'll just put it out there, you know, if we're going to get fired at, we might as well get fired at, you know, the right way. People have said, well, you know, would you perform a homosexual wedding? No, I will not. Because that's not what the Word of God says. I mean, that's plain and simple. What, you know, would I do that? No, I'm not going to do that. But let me tell you what else. It's not right to have a couple that's a heterosexual couple living together in sin. Wouldn't let you be a church member either. Because that's not right. We like to try to categorize sin in different areas, but yet it's all right. See, man, I can't believe it. How many of y'all have ever heard this? They say, oh, well, you need to go live with the person that's going to be your spouse just to see if it's going to work out. How many of y'all have ever heard that? I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Well, preacher's getting personal now, isn't he? He done got into my bedroom and everything else. He'll be getting in my liquor cabinet next. So, yeah, but listen, guys, it needs to shape who we are. A relationship with Jesus is not just a Sunday event. It's who we are in Him. If we misunderstand grace, we risk falling into legalism. We risk falling into the trap of thinking that things that the Word of God says are not true are true. And I have come across some people before who you could point this out to them in black and white, and they are so blinded and deceived by Satan that they don't get it. And I'm like, listen, my only defense is the Word of God. But by the way, let me put a caveat on that. That's all you need for a defense is the Word of God. Are you going to change everybody's attitude and mind? Absolutely not. But stand firm. Man, I'd rather go out, you know, and be all beat up when I stand before Jesus and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," than to have pleased everybody in the world and disappointed God when I stand before Him. And woe be unto the preachers across this world who are taking pulpits today, who are tearing down the Word of God, who are watering down the message, who use terms like, "Well, I'm not going to preach about the blood because, you know, that just offends people." Well, you know, I think some people need to be offended today. Because you know what? The Word tells us the gospel is offensive, isn't it? Now, don't get me wrong what I'm getting ready to say. If people are offended, that means we're doing the right thing. Now, trust me, I don't try to get up and offend you every Sunday. That's not my goal. I don't sit there on, you know, tomorrow and start going, "How can I offend them next week?" And that's not what I do. But nonetheless, the gospel is offensive. Now, Paul's teaching in Romans 6 clarifies that true grace leads to holiness. There's that big word, holiness, and a life free from bondage of sin. That's what it says. It says it can. So one common challenge that we face is the misconception that grace allows us to live however we please. And some would argue that since Christ has forgiven all sins, past, present, and future, that our actions do not matter. How many of y'all have ever heard somebody say something like that? "Well, I'm a believer. It doesn't matter what I do. God's forgiven all my sins, even the ones I'm getting ready to commit tomorrow." What? Come on, people. You know, there's a true essence to that. Jesus did go to the cross for every sin, past, present, and future. But that, now you see where I'm talking about. People get into beating up God's grace. And by the way, if you have to keep going back for the same thing, now I got to be careful how I say this, so understand my heart. That's not repentance. You see, repentance says I've turned away from the sin, I've headed back to the Father, and I never want to do it again. Now that doesn't mean that you're not going to, you know, slip up and make a mistake. But the real question is, where's your heart? Are you really, really striving not to fall back into the sin that temptation has brought you? That's the true litmus test. See, others may struggle with habitual sin, you know, questioning their salvation and the effectiveness of grace in their lives, but grace is not a license to sin. I got a lot more, but I don't have a lot more time. I introduced you to that. So I want to encourage you today to read on, particularly beginning with verses 6 and following, because what happens is he begins to lay out I guess you would say, his thesis for their answer. But I'm a simple guy. I like how he started off. What is it that, go back to verse 1 of our text. It says, what shall we say? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Absolutely not. Pretty clear answer, isn't it? No. That's not a license to sin. Certainly not. How shall we, here's the key, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Isn't that what we say? Isn't that what baptism represents? He gets into that in verses 6 and following. You see, baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Though your sins be as scarlet, they're washed as white as snow. Isn't that cool? Wow. You know what? The biggest thing we got to do is stand firm, stand strong. I have learned, I'm grateful, you know, for the way that God made me. I hope this doesn't sound like bragging, but I love everybody. I even love people who don't like me. You know why? Because God's given me the ability to do that because that's what He wants done. Do I take offense at that? We are the most offendable society in this world. Good morning, America. What are we offended by today? I don't like the fact that you wrote that memo in pencil. I'm offended. I'm going to HR. But who cares? Remember how that was? Remember, as children, we got offended a lot in our homes, didn't we? You could go to your mama and daddy and say, well, mother, I am offended at this meal that you put on the table. When you woke up across the room, you weren't as offended. You might have been like Jim. You might have tasted the sweat and the blood. Let me tell you, in my household, everybody didn't get a separate meal. You got the same meal. And if you didn't want it, you didn't have to eat it. You just didn't eat it all. Hey, do I look like I've missed many? Mm-mm. No. Because you know what? Even if it wasn't my favorite, I knew my favorite was going to be coming along before too long. The Lord says, hey, don't use my grace as a license to sin. Don't allow somebody who wants to take the word of God and twist the word of God. Don't let them sit there and tell you it's all right to do this. And folks, let me tell you something. Don't you be a party of agreeing with somebody just because they're your friend. When they come to you and say, hey, I was thinking about doing this. What do you think? Hey, do the right thing. Do the right thing. You can sit back and tell them, say, look, I love you, and as a believer, you know this. By the way, they know it too. You know this isn't right. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and they've confessed their sin. And they're like, I've messed up. Here's where I am. This is, and I'm like, yeah, you messed up. And I said, but here's the thing. You already know this. I'm not going to sit here and beat you up over a sin that you've done. I'm not going to chastise you. I'm not going to scold you. You already know this. Okay? So let me tell you what I want to do. I want to walk with you on how to get back to the Father. See, too many times we want to beat people up. That's part of our problem. See, part of our problem is Christians have a reputation of being really nasty people to even their own when somebody has fallen down the road of sin. Now, let me tell you this. But by the grace of God go I. Every single person in this room, you got something tucked away in a closet of your life that you don't want anybody else to know about. Every one of you. So the next time we sit back and go, I can't believe what they did. Go take a peek in that closet door. Go open that cabinet. Now, why do I say that? I'm not saying that you're holding on to something. But see, what happens is God may have forgiven us of those things. And sometimes the biggest problem is we have trouble forgiving ourselves. Sometimes that humbles us. Sometimes it makes us arrogant. Let's not be the arrogant type. Let's love each other. Because basic bottom line is we're all just a screwed up mess of sinners. Saved by grace. Every last one of us. We are the ragtag bunch. Hallelujah. And you know what? I love the fact that as you go through the Bible, you'll find out the ragtag bunch that God used to change the world with. If you looked at some of these guys' resumes, you wouldn't hang out with them. Ladies, if you brought Paul home and said, Mama, I want you to meet Paul. He's my boyfriend. Where'd you meet him? Well, he was just getting out of prison down the road. What? Or Mama, I want to introduce you to my boyfriend. This is Moses. I met him out there while he was tending sheep. Well, how'd he get out there tending sheep? Well, he killed a couple of people back in Egypt. Right? But by the grace of God, go I. May we not take advantage of God's grace. I'm going to ask David, if he would, and our musicians to take their places as we prepare for our time of invitation. There's a couple questions, first of all, that need to be answered by you today, not to me, but to the Holy Spirit. Number one, is Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? I'm not asking you how good of a church person you are. Not asking you what kind of a deacon, a choir member, or anything. I'm asking you if there's been a time in your life when you have cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner, save my soul. Yeah, and the glorious thing is he says, yes. And the glorious thing is he sets a place at the table for you. The glorious thing is he prepares a mansion in glory for you. But the Word of God also says this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is not a good way to heaven. He's the only way. I love that when people say, well, you preach that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I said, well, yeah, that's because that's the truth. There is only one way to heaven, and it's Jesus. It's not works. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way there. Don't care how good you are. Don't care how rich you are. Don't care what kind of talents and abilities you got. You'll go to hell without Jesus. I can't make that any more clear, can I? Okay, have you trusted him? Have you cried out to him like the publican? Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And remember this, that when you do, Jesus in you changes you. The Holy Spirit will begin speaking with you. He'll begin to cultivate you into the believer, the child of the King that God wants you to be. Have you trusted Jesus? If not, whether you're here, wherever you may be, I'm just simply, if you want to trust him today, if you feel him knocking on your heart's door, not me, but the Holy Spirit, then just simply bow your head and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe what Jesus accomplished through the cross and the resurrection. Forgive me, Father, and save me. And my prayer is in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you do that, that's the introduction. You just don't walk away. I mean, man, if I'm selling Girl Scout cookies and I knock on the door, I'm not just happy they opened the door. I'm going to try to sell some cookies. You know, that, you knock on the door and they open it up and you're like, oh, they opened the door. Listen, get to know Jesus. Get in there, man. Best friend you ever had. He'll walk through the dark valleys. He'll be with you rejoicing on the mountaintops. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. Listen, if you're here today, maybe the good Lord just kicked you around a little bit. Maybe we've been on cruise control. Maybe we've been taking advantage of God's grace. Maybe we realize some of the tears that we've put in his eyes because of what we've done. Today, like the prodigal son, he calls you home out of a hog pen. Will you come up out of the hog pen and make your way to Jesus? If you need me, I'm here. I'll pray for you. We believe in an invitation around here. This is a good old altar. It's a great place to lay your burdens or your sins. If you need it, it's here. If you need me, I'm here. But I'm begging you, do business with God and whatever he's placed on your heart. He said something to you today. The question is, did you listen? What will you do with what Jesus has placed? We're going to sing our invitation hymn number 282. Would you stand with me as we sing, Living for Jesus, you respond to the Master's call.
Living for Jesus.
heads are bowed. You to seek the Father. Listen, don't let this time get away from you. You do business with Him. You to pray. I'm going to ask that our ushers would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, we come to You once again with a grateful heart. Lord, the provision that You provide for us, for our families, is beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And we stop today to praise You for that. And Lord, as we come to this time that we worship You by giving back that portion that You have commanded us to return to You, we ask that we might truly be found faithful in doing so. Lord, as always, we lift up this team. We know that You are the best accountant in the world. You own the cattle of 1,000 hills. So, Lord, as we follow You with faithfulness, we pray that You will do just some incredible things. So bless this gift, bless the giver, and Lord, in all we do, may we magnify You as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Just a couple things. As always, we want to remember those that we know and love that are going through some tough times. Remember Eddie's family, Eddie's brother Donnie, went home to be with the Lord. His memorial service will be this coming Saturday right here at the church. Continue to remember the Hold family, Diane and Gary, and the passing of Brandy. Continue to remember that family in your prayers as they need comfort. They need some strength along the way. Let me just tell you what we got going on. Then we'll have our commissioning for our Cuba team, and I promise it won't take but just a minute or two. Don't have any birthdays, anniversaries to mention this week. Just the events for today. My discipleship group, D-Life group, will meet at 3:30 in the FLC 116. Awana at starting at 5:30 over in the gym. Adult Bible study, 6 o'clock p.m., room 5, down the hall right there with Pastor David. Then on Monday, Steve's discipleship group meets here, Fellowship Hall 116, 6 p.m. Mari's discipleship group meets 6:30 at their home. So you got to run Steve out. We're going to keep him out on Monday. But at any rate, ladies' connections, here are your next two dates. Your next meeting will be March the 4th at 4 o'clock p.m. in FLC 116. And then your ladies' monthly breakfast will be on March the 11th, 9 a.m. at Cagney's. Also, ladies, want to make a note of this date. On March the 14th at 2 o'clock p.m. over in the gym, there will be a baby shower for Valerie Giles. So we're looking forward to that. So again, 3:14, that's March 14th, 2 p.m. Over in the gym. And then, as always, continue to remember our Cuba team. I do want to make this announcement, then I'm going to introduce our team this year. Starting on March the 8th, okay, I won't be here next Sunday. I'll be in Cuba. Pastor Barry Owen will be with you. He'll be bringing the message next Sunday. But then the Sunday that I'm back, on the 8th, we will begin Every Believer a Witness. And myself, Jacob and Dennis will be we're preaching those. It'll be 5 weeks that we will do that on a Sunday morning to help you along the way to be the type of witness that that you and I all need to be. Come with an open heart. You know how it is. Every time we got something going on, people are like, I don't know about that. But like I say, we're going to tag team that thing and hopefully give you some incredible tools that you will be able to use. Also, mark your calendars for this. May the 17th. Say that with me. May 17th. That is our homecoming. Okay. Once again, that date's going to be May the 17th. We want you to be here for homecoming. As always, we'll have our service, then we'll have our meal next door, but we're also going to have special guests with us. I call them Gary Evans and the Strength for the Journey Pickers. That's what I've named you for this time. Y'all don't know it, but Gary is quite a banjo player, plays with some guys. They're going to be with us. They'll do a song or two in the service, a homecoming service. And then when we have our meal, Gary and the boys are going to play some music with us. They're going to play some good old gospel bluegrass and then some just plain old bluegrass. It's all right.
Do they have a bass player?
Yes, they do. Bill, not me. Bill, me and you will be over in the corner and we'll pick a little along with them. Who knows, we might get in different corners along the way. But listen, we're going to have us a good old time. I am so looking forward to Gary and the fellas being with us on that. I promise you, you will be tapping your foot and clapping your hands because it's right up Central Baptist Church's alley, okay? So you come with us. He might even break into a little Foggy Mountain breakdown, you know. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll fly. He may go from I'll Fly Away into Man of Constant Sorrow. You never can tell. So we'll throw a little bit of different stuff at you on May the 17th. Again, that is going to be on May the 17th. That's our homecoming. We would love for you to come, bring somebody with you, and we will celebrate together in the house of the Lord. May is always a crazy month because May is when we've got Mother's Day, we've got homecoming, we've got Memorial Day, lots of things going on. So without any further ado, let me go ahead and introduce you this year as we commission our Cuba team for 2026. This, I believe, is our 22nd year of going to Cuba, minus the COVID years that it was just one, wasn't it? One year we could not go. We got back literally days before the world shut down. We got back because, we go in March, and I think it was less than a week, all air travel was suspended, everything. We would have been stuck in Cuba till who knows long, how long. But the Lord brought us back home. We missed 1 year, and it was the year 2021. We couldn't go because we weren't allowed to. There was no air travel going in there, and that was the way we couldn't make it. So 22 years minus the one COVID year that we were not able to go. You all have faithfully supported financially as well as prayerfully this team. So I want to introduce to you the three that are going. We had a couple more that were going to be going, but we had some surgeries and some medical issues. But don't worry, you'll see a few more next year. Mike Stone, I'm going to get Mike, if you would, to come on down. You've changed your mind. You're not going anymore. He chickened out. Mike keeps us going. He's our comedian. He's our worker. He's a guy that we know, we love. He is family to the nth degree. Second member, Steve Kelly. Steve, come on down. We all shop at the same place, as you can tell. Bought our shirts at the same locale. But Steve, Steve's been quite a few years. Mike has been with us, pretty much. He's with us 19, but two or three before that. Six before that. I actually met Mike in Cuba for the first time. I met him at San Juan Hill. That was where our relationship began. So at any rate, we look like a good flying V triangle up here. I'm the third yellow shirt going on this trip, but I also want to do this. Sandy, would you join Mike? Because you know what happens when, it depends on how you look at it. Sometimes, wives are a little tense, when it comes about us going to places like that and serving the Lord. Mari, come down, if you would, and join Steve. And Jana, you can start your way from the back up here with me. But the interesting part is I know sometimes there's tensions with what we do. Honestly, it's so funny because I look at this crew and I don't think there's any tensions whatsoever. I think they're kind of glad when we're gone for a week, but, Sandy's like, okay, Mike, are you coming back so soon? And Mari's like, well, Steve, I got some other things I got to do. I'll pick you up at the airport whenever I can. And Jana, I'm sure, has some various and several things planned along the way in my apps. I say that jokingly, but I do say that with all the love and respect in the world. But these ladies right here trust God and trust the fact that their husbands are going about a mission for the Father, and that's what we're supposed to do. And they keep the home fires burning. They support us in some entirely incredible ways. So normally what we do is we will send our Cuba team off with a commissioning prayer with your promise to continue to pray for us as we go forward. And we will look forward to coming back together to tell you the great things that God has done. Back in 2002, we took up a challenge. The challenge was to continue to run the race of missions, whether it's our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or our uttermost parts of the earth. And there was something that we had that symbolized that. It actually has a date. Is that the one that's got the date on it?
Yeah, it's June 2002.
June of 2002. This baton, symbolically, we hand to whatever mission team goes out next from our church. And that is a relay baton. If you've noticed, when you run a relay race, there's that handoff zone where the next runner takes the baton and goes forward. So as symbolic of us continuing to run the race of missions in Central Baptist Church, Pastor David is going to come and he's going to present Cuba Team 2026 with a baton and have our commissioning prayer. That will also be our closing prayer, and we'll get you guys on out of here to lunch. Thank you for your love and for your time. Pastor David.
Let's give you that.
Okay.
Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that you have called us to be your servants and to go into the field and share the gospel. Lord, we want to ask you to bless this team. Lord, we ask for a special anointing of your Holy Spirit to empower them to do the things that need to be done. Lord, we know they don't even know right now all that they're going to encounter, but you do. We ask you to go ahead of them, Lord, and bless them. Build a hedge around them and protect them. Keep them safe from all that could go wrong through flying and traveling and being in a communist country. Lord, these are your servants, and we ask that you watch over them and bless them
and bless their families while they're gone. Protect them, Lord. Father, we look forward to the day when they return and we hear of the victories. And so we know that those victories belong to you, and we will celebrate them as they come back. Thank you, Lord, for these men who are going to share your word and the ministry of Central Baptist Church. Now, Father, bless us as we go from this place. Lord, make us ambassadors for Christ as we go into this community today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.